This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is the Friday Morning Show with Leo on Australia's gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. My next guest discovered a talented singer by the name of Michael Bublé way back in 1993. She spent years by his side developing his career. She has her own management company in Canada, is a consultant and organiser of events. Joining me on the line from her home in Canada is Beverly Dalich. Welcome to Joy, Beverly.
Thank you very much.
Now, firstly, I have to say, Canada is home to some of our favourite recording artists. I mean, there's Katie Lang, Shania Twain, Celine Dion, and of course, Michael Bublé. What's in the water in Canada? You guys have got some amazing talent in Canada.
Yes, we do, don't we? And I remember from the earlier days, Paul Anka, who worked with us on Michael's project, he also is from Canada. David Foster,
we
lots of people from Canada, yes. And I think that what helps with Canada is that we get a high profile on the artists that we present. And I think that makes a big difference, as well as the U.S.
Because you established your own company, Silver Lining Management, back in 1989. But before that, you were in interior decorating industry. What was happening in your life back then in those early days?
Well, when I was working as an interior decorator, I had gone out for dinner one evening, and I met Ray Carroll, who was with the second generation of the Platters. Remember, Only You, Smoke Is In Your Eyes, all of the old goodies, just like Michael sings. And I met him at a restaurant he was managing, and we became friends. He got up and sang, and we talked about the industry, and I sang a tune, because I always used to sing. Music was always my life. And we became good friends. And then one day he said to me, you know, why don't you come into the music industry? He said, I think you would just love it. And I think you have the qualities for, you know, the enthusiasm and the ear for things. And so I did. Little by little, he eased me out of my other business. And I went into business with him. And that's how I started. And then we started promoting various talent contests throughout the city in different clubs and restaurants, and that's how I met Michael. He entered a contest.
The industry is so difficult and so competitive. What did Ray teach you about the industry?
Well, first of all, I didn't know anything about it, as you can appreciate.
Yeah.
And he said, you will learn. And here's what I learned, that you have to be really fast, and you have to be pretty astute and ready to take a chance, because the entertainment industry as a whole is not only competitive, but it's not always honest. And so there was always someone trying to outbid you, or like in most businesses, and you have to make sure that what you offer was as good or better than anybody else. But what I learned was that having the ear was to look for certain qualities that would be a whole package, and not just to get emotional about someone and know that they really had a talent and it wasn't just something preconceived just because they were a nice person. And so I learned many things from him, and also I watched him perform, but I always had a good head for business. And I think that was really an innate quality that really helped me along, was my professionalism, because that's what Michael said when he actually asked me to be his manager, when I said to him, well, what do you think you need a manager for? And he said to me, because you're very professional and people take you seriously, and they do.
We know Michael Bublé now as this amazing superstar. He's huge here in Australia. But at the time, back in 1993, when he entered that talent contest, what qualities were shining through back then that still shine through today?
Well, when he first got on that stage, it was as though he'd always been doing this, even though he was only 18. And like I said, we had to disqualify him after, but he won the contest. But what he had with the total package, which he has now, when he sang, besides having that beautiful, buttery, golden voice, he had a stage presence that everybody watched. There was nobody talking or doing anything else but watching him perform. And the applause he got, and as he has gotten older, he has the same qualities, but he's just more seasoned and more at ease, more relaxed, and a great sense of humor, as you know, on the stage. And he relates to his audience as though they are the only one in the room.
Now, as you've mentioned before, Michael asked you to manage him. You worked on his first independent CD together. What lessons did you both learn during that time in those early days? Because it must be quite cutthroat back then.
It was very cutthroat. Well, yes. And that's what Michael liked, was the fact that, you know, I'm older than he is. And the fact that he felt I was always professional and I took everything seriously and I followed every lead. I felt that he was talented and I believed in his talent. And he trusted my beliefs and my, you know, my gut feelings. And he trusted my professionalism. And it was kind of like a protection for him. Because at one point when I asked him what he really thought I was to him, he came out and said that I was his safety net, and I was that was really quite precious.
Now, my special guest this morning is Beverly Dillett. She is a talent manager, consultant, events organizer, and discovered Michael Bublé. More with Beverly next on Joy 94.9. Friday morning show with Leo on Joy 94.9. My special guest this morning is Beverly Dillett. She discovered the incredible Michael Bublé way back in 1993. She's written a great book about their time together. It's called Come Fly With Me, Michael Bublé. Blaze rise to stardom. Now, before the break, Beverly, we were talking about the early days of Michael's career. What do you think the major differences are from being a great manager to being a bad manager? Because there's a lot of sharks out there that people need to look out for.
Yes. Well, yes, Leo, and David Foster said that to me once when we were in the recording studio. He said there were not a lot of managers out there that could be trusted. And he said that that was the number one quality that he felt that I had with Michael, that they could trust me. I never did anything behind his back in all the time I was with him. There's things I never told him because it was like a protection, you know. When I would tell him later on, he'd be really upset and say, why didn't you tell me? And I'd say, well, because of the very reason I'm telling you now. It wasn't a good thing to tell you at the time. But yes, trust is the number one thing, and also, like we said, the belief in somebody. But the fact that you have to follow through on everything and make sure that everything is done above board. And to me, that's the most important relationship you could have in a management artist capacity. Many people used to say to Michael, oh, if you weren't with Beverly, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. And Michael used to, you know, say, well, yeah, really? Well, what could you do? There you are telling me this all the time, but I don't see anybody doing anything. She's the only one doing anything.
You mentioned David Foster before, because Michael met David Foster at a wedding. Now, David Foster has worked with everyone from Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey. How instrumental was David getting Michael, I guess, that media contact with, I guess, labels and that type of thing?
He was and is the man, because before that, we struggled. Michael, you know, Leo, Michael could have made a wonderful living his whole life, but he wanted the brass ring. And to get to the brass ring, you know, you need to find the people that can give you the brass ring, if at all possible. And so an event organizer in Toronto, when Michael was in the show Swing, Forever Swing, asked Michael if he could give his CD to our former prime minister's daughter who was getting married, and maybe Michael could sing at her reception. He did. David Foster was there, and Brian went up to David and said, you got to do something with this kid, after he had sung. And David said, what will I do with him? Because that was the big thing. Nobody knew what to do with his genre, because he was singing all of the stuff that the greats had sung, and he didn't want to be labeled as a Frank Sinatra, yet he sang all of that stuff, Bobby Darin, Frank Sinatra, Louis Prima. So that was the difficult. So David, after the wedding, for a whole year, he would take Michael and expose him at various fundraising events, which he does, which is a wonderful thing. And he would have people that he met along the way, like Michael, perform at these events to see how they were received by the audience. And then after so many events, I said to him one day, I said, David, are you ever going to work with him? And so he decided that we should come to L.A. and we would get started on the CD. And then in the meantime, he had introduced us to Paul Anka when Michael had performed as an opening act for Jay Leno.
Mike was signed to Warner Music Now, which is a huge label all around the world. Just before that, you parted ways with Michael as his manager. You passed him on to somebody else. Why did you do that? And I guess, I mean, was it difficult to sort of let Michael go into, I guess, the unknown?
Well, I stayed with him until David finished the CD. Mm. And then once he was signed to Warner Brothers, and David had asked me to start shopping for a manager because I knew that I had to do that because there was just me all the time. And I knew that if Michael was going to be involved in anything larger, I always knew that I would have to find somebody that I would have to turn him over to. I knew that because I didn't know enough. I didn't have the Rolodex. And so I had interviewed four different managers while we were still in L.A., but I had always wanted Bruce Allen because he was from Vancouver, even though he told me a couple of times that he didn't know what to do with him either before we made the CD. He was always the one I wanted. And so when the time was right and Michael was signed to Warner Brothers, Bruce and I met, and he said, well, okay. He said, I'm getting a little too old for this stuff. But he said, all right, the kid's got a hell of a voice, so let's see what we can do. Because he didn't know what to do with that genre either. But then we had that beautiful CD that he was signed to Warner Brothers. And so Bruce Allen came down to Los Angeles, and he and I and Michael went and shopped for an agency, which was, we settled on William Morris, and that's who he started with. And so I turned him over to Bruce because Bruce was huge. As you know, he had Bryan Adams before him and Martina McBride. He knew exactly what to do. Well, maybe if he didn't know what to do, he had the contacts. We were prepared. It was, you know, I knew it was going to be a good thing for him. I knew that I always felt that Bruce was the manager for him. I just knew he was. And yes, it was very difficult. And to this day, it's a little difficult because it's like one of those things that you do, you're involved in, like an event you're putting on, and then the event goes on and you're behind the scenes. And it was very difficult for me to do that at the beginning, but I knew that I had to.
The music industry has changed so much over the years. Their social media has become a really key focus for many artists and how they interact with fans. Also, artists need to make a different avenue to make money because music is, there's this illegal downloading and things like that. So also the reality TV shows out there, X Factor and The Voice and things. How hard is it, do you think, for these young singers who enter these shows to sustain that momentum? Once the show ends, often their career sort of ends and they don't really go anywhere.
Well, you know what, Leo? Those people that are on these shows have it made. Because if they can make it even through to a few weeks, somebody wants to pick them up because they got that far, they will, and help them along with their career. But if you can, as you can appreciate, it's a stepping stone. What is it, 10 weeks? Mm. Is all it takes them to get through that for millions and millions of people to see them. And so it's a wonderful thing for them. And yes, the music industry is nothing like it was when Michael and I were together. And every time up until a couple of years ago when I used to talk to Michael, he used to say, you know, one of these days, nobody wants to say it, but there probably won't even be any recording companies. Everything will be done on its own, as you know. Mm. And so now when I work with my artists, which I do as a consultant, I work with them on, you know, their voice, their capabilities, their image, how to perform on stage, how to produce an independent CD, how to look for an agency. And honestly, most of the work they can do on their own after that. But when it comes to somebody actually caring for their career, they will need some kind of a manager or an agent or somebody to look after them.
Finally, Beverly, everyone wants to be a star these days, but I think what's missing are some great people behind the scenes who can nurture that talent, believe in them, and help them grow. What's your advice to people that want to get into the industry, I guess, behind the scenes, like as management or agents or PAs, or what's the best foot in the door?
Well, you're right, Leo, that they do need help. You do need help because you need to just concentrate on your music as an artist. You don't have time to do the business end, and that's why you have to have people with you can trust. So I used to always treat Michael and me, the business used to always be referred to as a third person. I used to say to Michael, if you and I agree it's good for the third person, which is your business, we do it. If it's not, we wouldn't do it. But as far as being a manager is a big responsibility, and there's no money in management until you have at least one, two, three artists that are out there performing, making CDs, that you can make money on their performances and their CDs. Otherwise, there's no money for a manager or an agency. And it is about the money if you're going to have a business. And from the artist's point of the artist's perspective, yes, they do have to have somebody looking after their career. So if somebody wanted to go into the business like I did, I would say, well, if you have the ear and know that this person is talented, and you want to help them. I helped Michael while I was doing other things because I needed to at the beginning. And then afterwards, there still wasn't any money, but we stayed together because we were just too far into it. So I'd say you have to really have a belief. And if you're going to be with a management company, it probably would be one that was established already and had several artists who were supporting that company. And that if they take you on, you're really lucky.
Now, the new book from Beverly Dillich is called Come Fly With Me, Michael Bublé's Rise to Stardom, is available online and in stores now. Thank you so much for sharing your insights this morning with us, Beverly.
Well, thank you. The questions you asked were wonderful, and I really loved my interview with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Beverly, and all the best for the book.
Thank you so much, Leo.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.